This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I really never believed in manifesting until today because I was lying in bed thinking, oh, come on, Kate, you're going to have a good day today. You know, you deserve good things coming your way. And I then rolled over and looked at my phone and I had a notification telling me I'd won a year supply of Nexpa kombucha. I'm not even joking.
I love it. This was the first message I saw in the morning and I was genuinely so excited.
I already did the math because I told Brandon and he's like, wow, that's going to save her a lot of money. That's about $700 worth of kombucha you've won, Kate.
Well, it's 300. I get 365 bottles. I got to select the flavor. I picked mango. I feel like I'm going to be so sick of it. And you guys can have one or two bottles if you like.
So this was a tag and win competition that you won. And I believe you tagged me in it. So aren't you supposed to share with the people you tagged in
the post?
Well,
I hope not, because I also tagged my dog Shadow's account. And I don't think he can drink kombucha.
So I feel like you would have had a heart attack this morning, though, reading Kate's message, because all I've been hearing about the last couple of days is how you're going to win the home lottery's house at Brighton.
I was so upset because it sounds bad to be upset, but when I saw that you wrote, I won, my heart kind of dropped because I thought, oh my God, has Kate won the house on the Esplanade? I'm going to be so jealous. We actually went on a walk a couple of days ago and we raised the issue. You raised it actually, Kate. Yeah, you said, would you be happy if I won?
I feel like I'm a horrible human being because we all concluded that we would not be happy if each other won the house because we'd be so jealous.
That's not true. I said I would be happy.
Well, Sophie promised me 10 grand if she did win to making up for the fact that we all wouldn't be happy for each other.
Well, I was putting that out to the universe. I thought if I put it out to the universe, it might help me and win. But I won jack shit on this home lottery. I put it out there. I said, I at least want to win a fruit chocks giveaway pack and I won nothing. Our cousin won, I think it was
six bottles of wine.
I mean, that probably would have been a worse prize for me, but
I love that you're complaining, but it's a charity auction.
Charity lotto. There is the silver lining there that my money is going to charity.
What about our friend? She won a Chanel voucher and she was telling us how she went and picked up the bag and there was process that went on. But it got Sophie and I thinking because you had another friend who got a bag and it was heavily discounted for a tiny scratch.
Oh, this is the way to go, everyone. This is a hot tip here. If you go and buy a bag, take a real good look at it. My friend got $2,000 off her YSL bag because it had two tiny scratches on the handle.
How much are YSL bags if she got $2,000? I thought they were only a couple of grand each.
I think this one was $3,000.
Embellishing the story again.
I promise you. She got two grand off.
Oh, wow. So two-thirds off the price.
And then we were chatting to a client and she said that she also got about a grand off a Chloe bag because there was also a scratch on it.
So could you go in store and scratch them and then get, I'm just
well,
joking,
you probably get arrested.
Do you know what's really cringe though? I feel bad. Like I would never be like, this bag has a scratch. I want $800 off, because it reminded me of the time, Kate, do you remember when we were shopping with mum and you found this lampshade from Harris Garth that you wanted?
Well, the lampshade was slightly damaged, but it was, I think, 70% off. But I did make mum go up and complain about the state of it.
Yeah. So we were saying that there's a face that people do when they want a when they want a discount. You kind of give it this look like,
ugh. Can I just say that I don't think I have any of that authority, because when I had an issue with my phone, I went in, I know it's slightly different, but I went in with that face and complained put my foot down, and I wasn't taken seriously. I feel like you've got to be at least 40 before you can pull that face.
No, or a man, because Dale is the best at complaining about things. It actually reminds me, because Dale and I were at a supermarket the other day.
I love that we're going from Chanel bags to what you got at the supermarket, but okay.
Well, there was a promotion for Coke that was on. So if you got two bottles of Coke, you're meant to get a yo-yo. I'm actually so embarrassed to tell this story. So
I just say, aren't these promotions for children?
Yeah, well, whatever. We wanted the yo-yo. So Dale was like, oh my God, let's get two bottles of Coke each and we'll each get a Coke yo-yo.
You've told me this story. Weren't the bottles of Coke like $14 or something?
Well, they were like $3.50 each for the bottles.
What? So hang on, $14 and you got two yo-yos from
that. So you basically paid for the yo-yos though, because Coke's like $2 usually.
Yeah. Anyway, we got our Cokes and we had some other stuff too. We went to the counter. There was a massive line behind us. We get there and I turned to Dale and I said, imagine if they don't have any yo-yos. Can we just like return the drinks? And he's like, yeah, we'll return them if they don't. Anyway, this girl serves us and Dale's like, yeah, we get two yo-yos with these. And she says, oh, okay. And she's like, hey, have we got any of those yo-yos left? And the person's like, I have not seen any yo-yos. There's this massive line. Everyone's giving us the dead eye. They have to go out the back to see if they've got the yo-yos.
Oh my God.
They come out, they get out this little tub and there's only Sprite and Lift yo-yos in there.
What's wrong with them? They'd be all right.
Yeah, they're like, she's like, are these okay? And Dale looked at them like, oh, yeah. And Dale's like, make sure, Amy, you pick the one you want out, because she started handing us one. So he got a Sprite one. I got a Lift one. We walk out of the store and I said to Dale, as a joke, I actually wanted the Sprite. And he's like, well, go back in. I will return it for you.
Well, have you guys even played with these yo-yos?
Oh, my gosh. We have been. We have been yo-yoing. It's been really sad.
It reminds me of at school, because there was always a yo-yo craze and a marble craze.
When they landed at Plymouth Rock, they were greeted by the friendly Wampanoag Indians.
Do the Indians have yo-yos?
No, they did not have yo-yos. That's it. I'm sick and tired of talking about yo-yos. From now on, I will not accept any book reports, science projects, dioramas, or anything else on yo-yos or yo-yo-related topics. Am I making myself clear?
Yo.
Danny Mansudi has returned to YouTube after a six-month hiatus from the platform. The video entitled Finally Telling You Everything Plus I'm Moving to Australia went for 48 minutes. Now, I took one for the team and watched it in full.
Fast forward? Did you fast forward?
Yes, I did put it in double speed to get through it all. So I thought I would share with you some of the main points so you don't have to endure the 48-minute video yourselves.
Can I say, I do actually sometimes enjoy a 48-minute YouTube, because I just bang it on in the background. No. I'll be on my phone most of the time looking at realestate.com.
I think it depends if it's a sit-down chat. I think a 45-minute sit-down chat is a little bit long. If it's a 45-minute vlog where you're going to different places, though, I love that. That's my bread and butter there.
Yeah, it was a very boring sit-down chat, because I feel like I've watched a lot of Danny's Instagram stories and a lot of it was repeating the health issues that she's had surrounding her breast explant surgery. So Danny explained that the reason she has taken 6 months off YouTube is because she was suffering with poor health around her breast implants. And she said that she was really depressed and at the point of no return, and that she said spent so much money to get home, but it was worth it. And there were parts in the video where I did feel really sorry for Danny. It was very clear that her mental health has really been affected, and that's why she has been staying off YouTube. And it seems like she's really trying to turn her life around, because she spoke about how she's cutting out alcohol and eating healthy and deleted Uber Eats from her phone. I suppose the most interesting thing was when she spoke about the anxiety she feels about posting on YouTube and the fact that she's actually not been earning any money from ads for the last 6 months. So she said,
from her YouTube channel?
Well, she said the only money she's been earning as an influencer is from AdSense, from her YouTube channel, but she hasn't been doing any promotion on Instagram or anything like that.
How is she surviving in London then? I can imagine it would be very expensive there.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing. So she said she's been having to dip into her savings, and it's now at a point where she actually can't afford to live in her apartment in London. And that's why she's moving home to Australia.
Do you think that's also why she's making a big return to YouTube, because she's now going to make that her main focus?
I actually do think she has returned to YouTube to start earning money, because she really needs it. I mean, she put up on her Instagram story yesterday saying it's going to cost her $8,000 to send Beans to Australia, which is her pug. And she also shared that she's been having to pay a lot of money for moving fees. So she said £200 on the end of tenancy clean, £215 to cancel her internet, and £70 to redirect her mail.
So do you guys think that she has purposely not taken on any brand deals, or do you think that brands are not wanting to work with her because of some of the controversies?
Look, I do believe that Danny has been struggling both mentally and physically with her health. She looked visibly shaken on her YouTube video. It's quite clear she feels very uncomfortable in front of a camera, because she explained how she feels that everyone just picks on everything she does. So I'll throw to what Danny said.
It just makes you so sad that you're like, wow, these people are they genuinely believe I'm someone that they've made up in their head. That's not me at all. And I just get really, really sad. Every single influencer has, you know, websites that are designed to tear them apart. You've got podcasts, you've got Instagram pages, all sorts of stuff. I understand, and I'm a consumer of keeping up with like YouTube tea. So I get it. I get why it's interesting. You know, I watch H3 podcast. I love that podcast. A lot of that podcast is centered around drama. So I'd be a hypocrite to be like, oh, you know, people can't talk about others on the internet. But when it's like for legitimate crimes and yeah, all that stuff, it's a little bit different. But for me, it's like, it's when I haven't even come online and then people are like making up stories and people, I've been told, I say I've been told because my friends kind of fill me in about stuff, but I don't like to look at it. I've gone through a lot with the whole issue with my breasts. And then some people think I'm lying. Some people make up stories about that. And some people will attack my character. When I just sit here and I think like, I've had a really tough time. Can we not use something that is part of my health, my private life as tea? People scrutinize everything. If I breathe the wrong way, I'm a murderer and all this stuff that you're just like, I just can't even be on this platform right now because I can't survive as a human being. I can't do anything right. No matter what I do, it's not right. And then it just got me into a really, really bad place mentally, as well as everything else I was going through. That the thought of YouTube terrified me. Oh my God, the thought of coming on here, like this has taken me like 6 months to come back on because of how messed up my mental health's been from my health.
I do feel really bad for Danny listening to that. Yeah, it's quite clear that it has really affected her mental and physical health. And she said herself that perhaps she is too sensitive to be on a platform like YouTube and Instagram.
I think it's really clear that social media isn't the right job for Danny at this time. Obviously, she's changed the way that she posts on Instagram. She stopped her YouTube channel. And it seems like she really did, of course, have to do that for her mental health. I think it'd be really positive for Danny if she came back to Australia and perhaps looked into other careers that might work for her and make her happy, because this clearly is not making her happy.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because she did say that she potentially may be looking at getting a job outside of social media. She explained that she just wants to go to the beach and relax with her family and do her art and potentially take on another job. And I actually think that would be the best thing for her.
Well, didn't she mention that she also is considering starting a podcast?
Yeah, she did. So potentially that could be the new career. It would make sense. She said that she gets so anxious and uncomfortable on camera that she feels like she stiffens up and isn't really herself. So she said that she thought podcasting might be a better format for her.
Harry, I'm feeling something. Something I haven't felt for a long time.
Pride?
No. Autonomy. Complete and total autonomy.
Well, you're your own boss now.
I want to go to a tractor pull.
Go ahead.
I am staying out all night.
Who's stopping you?
I want to bite into a big hunk of cheese. Just bite into it like it's an apple.
A couple of weeks ago on the podcast, we discussed how Shani Grimmon has parted ways with her ex-boyfriend Tommy Bugg's talent management agency, Zoots. Now, at the time, we speculated that perhaps it was because Zoots wasn't on the ball and getting enough ads in for her. However, we have had a sneaky person slide into our DMs and let us know that this might not be the case.
Yes, well, this is a bit of a rumor file. This, obviously, we don't know how true this is, but we thought we'd let you in on the tea. So apparently Shani has been the one who hasn't been upholding her end of the deal. And it seems that Zoots has been getting in a lot of deals for Shani. She's been taking the content, but just not posting it. And these are all allegations. So we don't know if this is true, but someone has reached out that is in the know and said this is why Zoots is no longer working.
Yeah, so I mean, it does make sense because she does have her business Silk Swimwear. So maybe she's just wanting to put all of her attention into that and isn't as interested in spruiking other businesses.
I think this was during a time where Shani was very much adamant that she wanted to take a break from social media. But what was really odd was the fact that she'd go through and take all of the content, but then she just wouldn't post it. Mm. So she was saying she wanted to take a break from even sharing content on her Instagram page. So that's a really interesting rumor going around.
You would have thought that the management company could have got her password and just posted it for her, considering she's already done all the
work.
But
how pissed off would you be as Zoots? Because if she doesn't share the content, no one gets paid.
Mm. Yeah, you're definitely not getting your 15%, 25%, whatever it is.
Why don't you drop that in my pigeonhole?
Great, where's that then, sir?
Any bin. Any rubbish bin you see in or indeed out of the school. Just pop all your thoughts in a rubbish bin and they'll get to me.
Now, late last year, the Guardian newspaper reported that the NHS in the UK was enlisting the help of celebrities and influencers in a major campaign to persuade people to have the COVID vaccine amid fears of very low take-up. Now, the minister and NHS were said to be drawing up a list of very sensible, famous people who had acted sensibly during the pandemic. Now, I feel like it would be a very tough job to work on that list of people.
I think it would be hard to pick from influencers because everybody seemed to be calling out different influencers for doing the wrong thing during the lockdown in the UK. But surely there are some famous people who've laid low during lockdown.
Well, at the time, there were rumours that the NHS was going to enlist some UK footballers. So one of them was Marcus Rashford, who has been part of a child food poverty campaign in the past. And the other rumours were that they were going to enlist the royal family.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well,
there was a lot of promotion on Kate and Will's Instagram account about them getting the Pfizer vaccine.
Yeah. So the one that I have seen, and this won't be a surprise to our listeners because I do follow Anastasia Kingsnorth's life quite closely. She was enlisted as one of these influencers to promote the vaccines. So last week, Anastasia put up on her Instagram story that she had received her first dose of the Pfizer vaccine, and she put up a question box asking her followers to write in questions asking about her experience.
Gosh, I could imagine her inbox would have been filled with anti-vaxxers abusing her.
Well, the thing that's a little bit awkward is that Anastasia has been caught up in a little bit of controversy during the UK's lockdown. So a number of followers have accused her of breaking lockdown rules. I mean, for a while there was this video on TikTok going around that she was out with some guy that she didn't even know down at the shops. And that was at a time where you weren't meant to meet up with anyone.
Wait, that was Byron?
No, that was another guy she was rumoured to be out with.
Well, I was watching this video recently where she took her friends out to all these different places to eat because they're now allowed in the UK to eat at restaurants and cafes. And they also did a mukbang at home where they were just like using the same, like drinking from the same bottle.
I saw that too.
And drinking from the same straw.
Sorry, when was that even acceptable before COVID? Because I would never go and take a drink out of Starbucks and share it around.
I mean, I wouldn't even share my drink bottle with you guys if it came from the same womb. Like,
but I
find
think
that
we're
gross.
Different. Some people are like that. We're talking about the other controversy.
Yeah, but not during a pandemic.
No, not during a pandemic. Well, there's been a lot of questions over things she's done during the pandemic. She was also seen to be hanging out with Becca, who we spoke about last week.
So that is Becca Kerridge, who is a Manchester influencer. And it's quite hilarious because a listener from Manchester that's in our Facebook community let us know that apparently Becca isn't really well known there at all. And she's a bit of a wannabe influencer who allegedly has sort of bought her following.
Well, I think we did describe her as a clout chaser last week.
Yeah, apparently that seems quite true.
I do love that people from the UK are listening to the podcast.
Oh, it excites me so much. I feel like that's our spiritual home. Our grandma was born in Chelsea, so.
Well, getting back to the incident with Becca. So it was alleged that Anastasia hung out with her while Becca was supposed to be isolating. And Becca, of course, as we discussed last week, actually does have COVID now. The other thing that she was held accountable for was she posted a lot of vlogs where she was out traveling around in the UK. And I have to say, it was actually allowed at the time, but I think it was advised to kind of, stay around
upon.
Home. It was
frowned
upon.
Tone deaf.
So Anastasia shared about her experience with the COVID vaccine. And did you guys know that Instagram has actually created this little GIF that says, let's get vaccinated?
Yeah, oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, they do it for voting and all sorts of things.
I actually think it's great that the NHS have got influencers on board. Mm. I would love to see the meeting where they worked out who the influencers were, because even in Adelaide, Nicola Spiria, I could just imagine her being briefed on, this is Shani Grimmin. She's really popular. She should be one of our influencers.
Do you think that they missed the mark, though, by getting Anastasia, who has had a few indiscretions over the lockdown?
No, I actually think despite the fact that she may have done the wrong thing in the past, she's very much done the right thing now and actually promoted such an important thing to her young and impressionable followers. I suppose where it gets murky for me is, was she paid for it?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, I don't have any information. There was nothing in the Guardian article about whether these influencers were in fact getting paid. So do you guys think that is an issue if they're paid?
Well, I don't know. I kind of think if they're using their platform for good, then maybe they should be paid for it.
I don't know. I feel like when you're an influencer or a celebrity, you're obviously getting paid a lot of money and there's a lot of perks to having that type of profile, that I think there's some things that you should just do.
That's
from
true.
A moral perspective. Because again, it's something that's based on your belief.
Do you know what? I do agree with you, Kate, because it is pretty bad. We all should be doing our part to promote vaccinations and the fact that it is the way forward for everybody.
It did get me thinking about how this sort of promotion would work in Australia and what the reaction would be, because currently Australians under 40 aren't eligible for the Pfizer vaccine. So I wonder how Australians would react if the government decided to utilise young influencers to promote the vaccine and let them push in front.
I think people would be annoyed, but I could see the greater good from it. If they are able to influence people to get the vaccine, then I wouldn't see anything wrong with it. However, I think it's pretty clever that the UK are getting these influencers who do have a younger demographic to promote the vaccine, because now the younger people in the UK are eligible to get the vaccine.
Well, I definitely think that they also waited when to roll out these use of influencers as well. They've obviously waited until it is available for younger people. It is interesting though, because there was a recent article in the Telegraph just yesterday saying that unfortunately numbers are still low of young people wanting to take up the vaccine. I do wonder if any rules come into place about traveling overseas when vaccinated. I'm sure then we'll see a huge spike in people wanting to take
Everyone
it up.
Everyone will be lining up for it.
Right, I'm going to give that woman a piece of my mind.
Judith, please calm down.
No, Peter, I will not be becalmed. We have had, and I never thought I'd utter these words, the holiday from hell.
Rumours are swirling that a new Netflix documentary on the Free Britney saga is causing key parties involved in Britney Spears' life and career to flee. Celebrity gossip account Demois shared a screenshot from an anonymous source alleging word on the street is the Netflix documentary is done and it's scolding. Hence, a lot of people jumping ship this week to remove themselves from it. Demois asked, any idea when it will come out? The anonymous poster replied, my friend said a trailer is ready to go, so not sure. Demois replied, you think the resigning has to do with a doc or a culmination of things? The anonymous poster replied, culmination.
So for those who aren't aware of the key parties involved that have jumped ship, the first was the Besmer Trust. Now, they were the firm hired to oversee Britney's financial affairs alongside her dad, Jamie Spears. The second was Britney's longtime manager, Larry Rudolph, who resigned this week after managing Britney for 25 years. He wrote in a letter to Britney's conservatorship, it's been over 2.5 years since Britney and I last communicated, at which time she informed me she wanted to take an indefinite work hiatus. Earlier today, I became aware that Britney has been voicing her intention to officially retire. As her manager, I believe it is in Britney's best interest for me to resign from her team as my professional services are no longer required.
So the third person to leave the Britney Spears team was her lawyer, Sam Ingham, who was appointed by a court to represent Britney's legal arrangements. On Tuesday, he resigned from her conservatorship. This is all really odd, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it makes sense that a lot of people are wanting to remove themselves from this situation, because ever since Britney spoke out in her own words, the shit has definitely hit the fan. We have had confirmation that Britney is not happy with this arrangement. I do feel like there must be some truth to the rumor that Demois has shared regarding this explosive Netflix doco, because if I was one of these people, I would want to get myself as far away from this situation as possible. I mean, I know that the situation has changed dramatically in the last couple of weeks since Britney's gone on the record and said that she is not okay with the conservatorship.
Mm. They just look guilty though.
Yeah, I cannot wait until this Netflix doco comes out. It's quite interesting because there are reports that Erin Lee Carr is directing the Britney Netflix doco, and she has been involved in other controversial documentaries, including At the Heart of Gold, Inside the US Gymnastics Scandals.
Oh, wow. The thing is, we'll probably only see it in like 6 months' time, because can you imagine the lawyers that have to look over this documentary to make sure it's okay to air?
I think they'll push it through pretty quick.
We'll take hotcakes and sausage.
Sorry, sir. We stopped serving breakfast.
What are you talking about? We're 4 seconds late.
No, you're 30 minutes and 4 seconds late. We stopped serving breakfast at 10:30.
Ah, horse shit! No, no, no. Don't cry. I'm sorry. I wasn't cursing at you. I was cursing at the lady.
Nice parenting.
Hey, thanks. Are you my therapist? Take a walk. You want a happy meal? We'll get you one of those happy meals. You got a happy meal? Can we get a happy meal? Will somebody get you a happy meal?
Former TOWI star Gemma Collins has confirmed she is back with her ex-fiancé, Remy, and they are trying for a baby.
Oh my gosh.
So Gemma revealed the news on the Love Lounge podcast, which she hosts. She said, I've got a lovely partner now and I'm very happy. I never saw that coming and I never predicted it. This is what I'm saying. You really have to let go of your past and move on to the future, because everyone's Prince Charming is out there somewhere, and I'm looking forward to having a love of summer. Now, this episode was the last of the series, and she tease listeners that she could be coming back to the next series pregnant.
It seems like things have moved pretty quickly, particularly in the last 24 hours, Soph, because you were telling me verbatim that Gemma Collins said that she was going to be single forever after rumors circulated that her ex Arj had gotten back with his ex Lydia. Now, both of them were on
TOWIE. Well, it seems like things definitely move quickly in Essex. Now,
how are they not filming TOWIE right now? Like, these characters, they should all be on The Only Way is Essex.
Maybe they'll bring it back. Well, Gemma was spotted actually cuddling up to Remy at her friend Dawn Ward, who she does speak a lot about on her podcast, Gender Reveal Party, back in June. But she insisted at the time that she and Remy were just having fun.
I love you say back in June. It's like June 11.
No, it's July 11.
Oh, sorry.
It was a month ago, Kate. Come on. Do you know what? That Dawn, she's on The Real Housewives of Cheshire. And if anyone hasn't seen it, go and watch it. It is absolute gold.
Well, yeah. So there have been rumors that the pair have been dating for about 6 months now. Now, for those who haven't seen Remy on the show, to give a bit of background, he owns a car mechanic repairs company. And he and Gemma dated on and off for 3 years until 2014.
Well, that's pretty cute, because she used to work when she was on the first series of TOWIE at a car, like she was a car salesperson. Yeah.
Well, they've obviously got a bit in common. Have you guys heard how he proposed?
No.
It's actually so cute. I feel like this would be perfect for one of us, just putting the ideas out there. So back in 2013, he proposed to Gemma Collins by hiding a diamond ring in her Christmas pudding.
Aww,
that's better than a $2 coin.
Well, because Gemma loves Christmas as well, so that sounds like a perfect proposal for her.
Well, I'm really hoping that this is going to be third time lucky for the pair, because they did rekindle things back in 2017 when Gemma was seen sporting the engagement ring in a couple of paparazzi photos.
Gosh, she really seems to go back and forth between her exes, because she's got back with Arj quite a few times.
I want to know more about Arj and Lydia, because all I can sort of remember of their romance was the fact that Arj bought Lydia a pig. Do you guys remember
Mr. Darcy,
that?
Yeah, Mr. Darcy. And it was meant to be a micro pig, but it was actually just a regular pig.
Well, they were actually childhood sweethearts. They dated for about 7 years on and off before splitting in 2016. And it's really cute, because they were spotted in paparazzi photos where Lydia attended Arj's sister's wedding. And they looked very cozy at the wedding. They actually danced together. And they have also been spotted. Well, Lydia was spotted leaving his house, because they actually live only a few streets away from each other still.
Do we find it cute? Wasn't Arj very destructive? And didn't really treat Lydia very nicely.
He's grown up.
Well, she actually has a 1-year-old child. She recently split from her ex, well, before the baby was born. So I don't know. They're both single at the moment. I don't think it's too far of a stretch to think that they're back together.
I always wanted to see Gemma and Arj together. I kind of like them as a pair better.
Mr. Darcy, your parents are here. He used to look a lot cuter when he was a baby. Now he looks a bit UGLY. I was told he was a micro pig.
Did you get your money back? How much did you pay for it?
Geez, I don't know, a few hundred quid. The geezer absolutely robbed me.
Love Island UK's Hugo Hammond was left in tears last week after offending fellow Islanders Faye and Sharon during a challenge. Hugo revealed his biggest turn-off in a partner was fakeness in both personality and looks, which struck a chord with Sharon and Faye, who have both had cosmetic procedures. Firstly, what did you guys make of Hugo's comments?
I just think they've been blown completely out of proportion. I don't think that he meant any offense to any of the girls there.
I can see how they could have been offended, because the producers made sure that he kept saying like, fake, fake. And you could see that they were just getting more and more pissed off, because for those who haven't seen it, his role was quizmaster. So he and his partner, Chloe, had to ask the other Islanders questions, and they sort of wrote their partner's answer down on the board. So as you said, he was asked what his biggest turnoff was. So he reported back. However, on the bleachers, all the girls are going wild saying, what a dickhead.
Do you think that maybe he could have chosen the word or said that he likes natural girls better? That might have been.
I think fake has a very negative connotation to it. But what I was most impressed by was his response.
Yeah, I just want to get back to the comments though, because I feel like we've heard people say far worse comments about, I mean, the women are always, a lot of the girls are always saying, oh, I don't want to be with a short guy. Mm. Aaron said he didn't like hair on women's arms.
But there was, the whole point of the quiz was to be quite specific about what turns you on, what you like in a person, what you don't like. And I feel like as you said, the comments were taken out of context because this was a situation where you're flat out told, what do you like, what do you don't like, what do you don't like? I feel like
the producers definitely set him up for this one because, not to be stereotypical, but a lot of the women on this show do get cosmetic surgery. So clearly they know that that's his dislike. And I feel like they tried to really push it and get some sort of reaction.
I mean, but is that offensive? Because there might be a guy who says, oh, I really love fake boobs. I've heard people say that on Love Island before. Mm. And I just think that's his type, is he likes a natural girl. Some of them like the girls who've had some work done.
Well, that's what it's I was thinking. Type. Like, what's the difference nowadays? Because cosmetic enhancements are so normal.
Yeah.
A lot of people have them. So really, what's the difference between saying, I like a brunette, with brunettes are generally naturally brunette, or I like a blonde, which is usually from a bottle.
Yeah.
What's the difference by saying, always. I like a natural girl or I don't like a cosmetically enhanced girl.
A lot of the girls say that, oh, I like someone who's been to the gym. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, well, they're quite rude about it.
Kaz said that to Toby. She said, oh, well, typically you're not my type because you don't go to the gym.
Well, Sharon was really pissed off by Hugo's comments. And it's quite interesting because Aaron got put off by Sharon's response. So she said, get fucking educated as to why girls get work done. She also said, he literally has grafted two girls in here who look like they've had work done. I'm fucking pissed off. Girls do it to boost their confidence. And I don't think that should be a negative thing.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that someone is not your type and that's one of your turnoffs. I mean, if...
Yeah, but I think the issue was that he called it fake.
But
I think
he didn't directly say they're fake.
I do. The thing is, I think that Sharon's got a point that a lot of guys probably wouldn't understand why some women go under the knife.
Yeah.
And Faye did talk about it a little bit more with Hugo. She said that she had grown up really insecure because she felt underdeveloped. And she said from 13 to 18, she was in tears most nights because she just didn't have any boobs, and that her parents had got her breast implants for her 18th birthday. A lot of the fans of Love Island in the UK weren't really impressed by Faye's comments though, because Hugo was actually born with a club foot. So he is the first person to go into Love Island UK with a disability. And they're saying, here's Faye blubbering about not having any boobs, and this guy's actually grown up with a disability.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing for me is, okay, I think he could have chosen his words better. The thing is, I don't think he should have used the word fake in that setting. I think he was naive for using the word fake. I don't think he meant any malice by it, but I was very impressed with his apology. It seemed very genuine. He cried, and I don't think he was just turning tears on it all. I think he legitimately felt bad, and that may stem from the fact that he has had to struggle with having a club foot.
But not once did he mention it, did you notice? Yeah. Not once. And he actually really listened to what each of the girls had to say, and you could tell that he had really taken their feedback on board. I actually think that Sharon and Faye felt bad after, because they totally overreacted, and they made him out to be the bad guy when, as you said, it was just a comment that was really misinterpreted.
Do you know what? I found the boys' response really interesting because, as you touched on, Sharon's partner, Aaron, actually got very turned off by Sharon standing up for herself. And that is one attribute that a lot of Love Island fans have really enjoyed about Sharon, the fact that she is willing to stick up for herself. So it was quite funny because then two new girls were brought in while the girls were all off on their little lunch date, which you knew that was going to happen. And these two attractive blondes roll in, and all of a sudden the boys' eyes have lit up and they're all like, no, we just want chill girl, an easygoing girl that, you know, doesn't like drama. And I thought, fucking typical.
Yeah.
It's more offensive than the fake.
Yes, it is. It's like, okay, oh, a woman's a bit too much hard work because she is voicing her opinion.
The only decent guys in that villa with a bit of
substance. I quite like Toby. He's grown on me a bit more.
I actually quite like Aaron. And I know you're talking about Aaron saying he doesn't like drama, but in that instance, I think Sharon is great. I think that she's a strong woman, but I also think that she was very rude to Hugo in front of a lot of people. And I think that was one of the major turnoffs. It did piss me off though for them to say that they didn't like drama, because it's like, oh, we just want some girl to sit at home and shut up in the corner.
It was more Brad, I think, that annoyed me when he said it. I think with Aaron, he was actually initially attracted to Sharon because of her personality and her intelligence. However, I think that he was slightly put off at the brunch when she said that she had dated lawyers and doctors before and that she didn't want children. I think he was sort of trying to work out how he would fit into her busy life.
There's obviously a lot more that goes on behind the scenes that we're not privy to.
just back to Hugo's comment, should it be Hugo that we're annoyed about, or should it be Love Island for preying on the girls' insecurities for the guys to be detailing what they like physically about the women in the house?
They asked the girls the same question. I don't think we should be angry at anybody because the boys were being asked the same kind of questions as well. Do you know what? I reckon the reason that Sharon and Faye got annoyed was because the boys had previously admitted that they all fancied Chloe, that if they weren't with their partner, they'd be with Chloe.
Well,
and
she's the most natural looking.
Well, she's got fake boobs, though. She said she had fake boobs.
Yeah, but I think that they took it really personally and they thought, oh gosh, none of the boys like us. And then there was another sort of punch to them the fakery comment.
Do you also think, you know, with the challenges, obviously, before they enter the villa, they've written down their answers. Do you think this was a circumstance where he'd already written down his turn-offs, so he felt like he had to say it?
That's a good point because they're trying to win points for the group. So I think they're usually given alcohol or something if they win. They're given a prize. So as you said, the producers have on the piece of paper, Hugo's turn-off is fake women. Mm. And he's probably looking at all the women going, fuck, a lot of them do have cosmetic surgery, but I still want to win the prize. Mm. So he's thinking, do I do it for the team or do I offend people?
I honestly don't think he thought that the comment was that offensive, and maybe he doesn't deem those women to actually fit into that criteria of being fake.
I mean, he might also be more referring to fake personalities too.
Anyway. Well, he said fake personalities and fake in appearance.
I am very keen to see what else unfolds. We are recording our chat about Love Island on Friday night, so I'm sure a lot more is going to happen.
Well, I'd love to hear what everybody else thinks. Go to our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Outspoken. If you did enjoy the episode, we'd love if you could subscribe on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you haven't already, please go and leave us a review.